Welcome to Intelligent Medicine, America's foremost program on health, medicine, and nutrition, featuring the latest on both conventional and alternative therapies. Now, here's Dr. Ronald Hoffman.
Welcome to Intelligent Medicine. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we've got a whole lot to talk about this week. You know, every week I sit down and I cull medical journals. I learn from my patients in my practice. I hear about stories via the newspapers, often wrongly interpreted by reporters who have very little scientific expertise. And then we provide these stories to you on weekends. We also use them as grist for the mill for our podcast, which you can check out at drhoffman.com. And we also post many of these stories on Facebook and via Twitter. So Intelligent Medicine, well, this weekend program, sort of the tip of the iceberg of the Intelligent Medicine phenomenon, because this is all about getting information out to you. Our number, 888-302-3684. That's the number where you can reach us with your questions. We actually have a couple of callers on the line, but before we get to our callers, we got lots to talk about this hour and next. Vitamin D denialism. Vitamin D denialism may be costing lives. Now, I have a little bit of a quibble with the word denialism, because denialism has to do with, most common usage has to do with Holocaust denial. And that's a very terrible thing, because historically a horrible event transpired and there are people who are actually trying to rewrite history and say, nah, it didn't really happen, or it wasn't 6 million, it was 1.5 million, it's exaggerated. And people have appropriated the term denialism to support their particular cause. Their cause may be global warming or climate change. And they actually talk about scientists who are climate change denialists. Well, there's a difference, because something that occurred in the past is not like something that may hypothetically occur in the future, such as climate change or the seas rising or pollution endangering human civilization. You know, whatever side you take in the climate debate, you can't really say that it's denialism when Holocaust denial is something that is incontrovertibly wrong. But I'm going to appropriate the term denialism about vitamin D because of, well, this big story that came through this week. Low vitamin D levels linked to disease in two big studies. And it turns out that the two biggest killers, I think you'll agree, are cancer and heart disease. It's actually interesting that the third biggest killer, if you look at it statistically, is the use of prescription and non-prescription medications. Yeah, statistically, they take a huge toll. But vitamin D is very, very important for a multitude of systems in the body. And in this new story, this comes to us from the New York Times. People with low vitamin D levels are more likely to die from cancer and heart disease and to suffer from other illnesses, scientists reported in two large studies published this week. It turns out that blood levels of vitamin D are a very good barometer of overall health. Now, you could say correlation is not causation, that people who have low levels of vitamin D might be unhealthy for other reasons, or they might be engaging in poor lifestyle habits or not getting enough sun. But one thing is for sure, if you've got a very low vitamin D, you are much higher at risk for the two major killer diseases, plus a host of other problems, fibromyalgia, depression, inflammatory disorders like rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and on and on and on it goes. Osteoporosis, of course, that's the traditional role that vitamin D is thought to play in terms of enhancing bone, but it goes way beyond that. Vitamin D is produced in the body when the skin is exposed to sunlight. We are now suffering from an epidemic of sunlight deprivation, particularly those of us in the Northeast, but also the multitude of people who are complying with dermatologists' recommendations that we slather on the SPF and that we stay out of the sun. That serves the goals of the dermatologists to prevent skin cancer, which is a big problem, but we're inheriting a host of other problems. as a result. The researchers in this latest paper say, check this out, this is incredible. 13% of all deaths in the United States and 9% of the deaths in Europe. Think of that toll. Think of if some sort of plague hit America or Europe and 13% of the population were wiped out. That's tens of millions of individuals. In Europe, 9%. Again, tens of millions of individuals. They say that these deaths could be attributed to low vitamin D levels. And one of the lead researchers says we're talking about a large part of the population being affected by this. A second paper was published in the British Medical Journal, and this takes a more conservative stance. There is, quote, suggestive evidence. They mince their words there. Suggestive evidence that high vitamin D levels protect against diabetes, stroke, hypertension, and a host of other illnesses. But they caution that vitamin D ain't ready for prime time yet. According to the author of the study, and here's where the vitamin D denialism comes in. His name is Dr. Evropi Theodoratou. I guess he's a Greek researcher. He says, based on what we found, we cannot recommend widespread supplementation. Vitamin D might not be as essential as previously thought in maintaining bone mineral density. And on it goes. But how long are we going to wait? How long are we going to wait for the evidence to accrue in terms of the benefits of vitamin D? This is a relatively young science because we've known about vitamin D benefits in terms of going beyond bone health for only about 5 or 10 years. That's when we had emerging science that showed a vast array of important bodily functions that are determined by vitamin D. And lots of evidence that vitamin D confers protection against major killer diseases. How long are we going to wait, and how many deaths is vitamin D denialism going to cost us? I'm going to call it as I see it. Vitamin D denialism is a big problem, and we ought to really get on the bandwagon with vitamin D supplementation as a public health measure throughout the world. All right, 888-302-3684. That's our number. And we got callers. We got a doctor on the line, Erwin from Boca Raton, Florida. Hi, Erwin. How are you?
All right, sir. I've been listening to you, I think, from the first day you got on the air many years ago.
Oh, my goodness. Great. That must be since the 1940s. You're an old timer.
I don't want to date you.
That's why you had to retire down to Boca Raton after all those years of listening. It finally took its toll.
You've saved my health many times. I'm 86, and
are you a physician, sir?
No, I'm a dentist.
A dentist. Okay, well, yeah, fine. You're a health professional.
Okay, and I can't eat all the vegetables and fruit that they're suggesting that you're supposed to eat per day.
Right.
So they're trying to push the powders, you know, the green powders and the orange powders, and you mix them with a liquid, and they're supposed to supplement what you don't digest regularly. Is it worth using these powders?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't want to give this short shrift because there's a recent study that suggests, can you believe this? They've actually come to this conclusion after so many years of research that fruits and vegetables actually help you live longer. It's an incredible new study, and I'll share the results of that study with you and my comments on those fruit and vegetable powder mixes when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use Clear Sinus Care? Because I like to breathe.
Because I hate having a dry nose.
There are a lot of reasons to use Clear Sinus Care, the nasal rinse and sinus spray with xylitol. But the best reason is because it works.
I use Clear because my doctor told me to.
Because it's all natural.
Clear, spelled X-L-E-A-R, moisturizes and soothes those dry and irritated sinuses. Clear Sinus Care not only helps with dry air problems, it also helps wash away pollens, pollutants, and other airborne contaminants, making your sinus passageways all clear.
Because my snoring was keeping my wife awake.
Because now I'm not all stuffed up.
And because it's all natural, Clear is 100% safe for children. the perfect way to keep your whole family healthy and breathing right. Prevent the misery and stop the suffering with Clear. That's X-L-E-A-R at clear.com and fine retailers.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
At Nordic Naturals, we pioneer new ways to help people get premium omega-3 nutrition while maintaining the highest standards of safety, quality, and sustainability. Nordic Naturals sources its fish from some of the cleanest waters on Earth and selects only flourishing species that are naturally low in toxins and high in omega-3s. During production, every batch of fish oil used in our products is third-party tested to ensure that they meet international omega-3 industry standards for purity, using methods established by the World Health Organization. At Nordic Naturals, what's essential to us is simple. It's what's essential to you. Like us on Facebook and share your What's Essential story, or simply visit NordicNaturals.com for free samples. Nordic Naturals is available at finer health stores nationwide. Nordic Naturals, committed to delivering the world's safest, most effective omega oils.
Wellness is just a click away. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. 888-302-3684 for questions. And we've got Erwin on the line. Erwin is a dentist, or retired dentist. And even if you're a dentist, you are not exempt sometimes from problems with teeth that may preclude eating high fiber, chewy foods that are good for you. Is that the case for you, Erwin?
No, I'm in pretty good health. I've had health problems, but I exercise every day. I try to walk up to 2 miles
a
day.
But you were saying that you had trouble eating all those fruits and vegetables that they're encouraging.
Oh, no, it's not eating them. It's consuming them. I use the wrong word.
Okay,
I'm
86, fine.
So I forget the right words lately.
Okay, because that would be a pretty poor reflection on the profession of dentistry if you had bad teeth. I mean, there are a lot of people past a certain age. They have bad teeth. They have weak digestion. They can't just chomp down like a youngster on all those salads and all those fresh fruits and vegetables. It actually gets tedious.
No, I love them. When I get a salad, I would eat the salad and have the vegetables and forget about the rest of the meal.
Okay, great. Okay, so here, this latest study, presumably you're aware of it because it made a big splash. It came out on April 1st, and I thought, what is this? Is this an April Fool's joke? Fruits and vegetables are good for you. Like, that's the duh story of the decade. Of course they're good for you, but yet they did a big study, and it looked at 85,000 people in England, not notorious for, well, actually now a little better, but in the past they didn't get a lot of fruits and vegetables, 2001 to 2013, and they found that those who ate 7 or more portions of fresh fruits and vegetables, like they tell you to, had a 42% lower risk of death in any age. So you can't beat that. That's fabulous. The risk of death was reduced by 36% with 5 to 7 portions, 29% with 3 to 5 portions. So, you know, don't give up if you can only consume a couple of portions. 14% with 1 to 3 portions. All right. Now, so the question is, for people, some people say, look, I don't like fruits and vegetables. That's actually a common complaint. People say, you know, I really never acquired a taste for broccoli, Brussels sprouts, asparagus. Those are icky foods, you know, picky eaters. They never really got out of their childhood, preferences. And so they want to take the fruits and vegetables in a convenient powder or in a pill. And there may be some benefits to these products. They're freeze-dried versions of fruits and vegetables. But I think that they're probably crucially deficient in certain elements that you get with the fruits and vegetables, because one of the benefits of the fruits and vegetables is simply the right kind of fiber that may act on the beneficial bacteria in your intestinal tract. So you don't get much of that when you take a pill or a powder. So the other thing is that when you freeze dry a product, or when you desiccate something that's essentially a juicy liquid product that is rich in live enzymes and natural substances, you may deplete some of the value. And so I don't really think that it's a perfect substitute. I mean, maybe it might provide some additional benefit. There are not that many studies on fruit and vegetable extracts. I think there are a couple that show some benefits. But there's nothing like eating real fresh fruits and vegetables. So I would advocate very highly that you try and eat as many as you can. And since you got a good pair of choppers, because you're that was your gig, I would suggest that you have plenty of those.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you. You see, I don't try to eat too much. I want to keep my weight down.
Good.
All right. It's better.
You're on the right track. You're on the right track. Great.
So I make a mix with a little protein powder, and I use that to fill me up.
Okay.
And
so that's fine. That's fine.
It satisfies me.
That's fine. That's good. It's all good. It's all good. All right. Let's take a look at this study. More doubts about mammograms value are raised in large study. This is something that I've been telling you about for the last decade at least, is that, these campaigns, think pink and make sure that you get your mammogram. I keep hearing, you listen to the radio, you watch TV, they tell you, make sure you get your mammogram. But does it really help? Well, again, this week, a large study published this last Tuesday adds to a growing body of research concluding that screening mammograms save relatively few lives from breast cancer. On the other hand, they may discover many cancers that wouldn't have caused problems if left alone. So it's a dilemma. I mean, what do you say to women? I mean, if you miss a cancer, God forbid, maybe that would have been a cancer that there would have been a big difference. Catching it early, treating it aggressively could have made a big difference. But many cancers that are caught via mammogram wouldn't make a difference. Say you're 78 years old, they find a small cancer, they take it out. That could have been a cancer that was very slow growing that would have killed you when you were 113, an age which you're not likely to attain. Conversely, the cancer that they might find in a younger woman, treating very aggressively with chemo and radiation and all those, ultimately, that may be a cancer that you might succumb to whether or not it was discovered. And so what we need better techniques for discerning which cancers are amenable to therapy. And we need a whole different approach, not so much about early detection, but about prevention. That's really where it's at with breast cancer. All right. We'll take a call now from we've got Nina. Nina's in Northampton, Massachusetts. Ah, subject is breast cancer. Welcome.
Hi there. My question has to do with a recent diagnosis of invasive ductal breast carcinoma. And what is your opinion on not going the Western medicine route and really going Eastern medicine?
Okay,
not
so
going to,
and yeah. That's a perfect lead-in from the last thing I was talking about in terms
exactly.
of mammograms. I don't think it's Western, Eastern. I think it's a question of not so much picking the Western versus, it's more about integrating the therapies, taking the best of both worlds. That's what I call intelligent medicine. And for certain cancers, aggressive treatment is proper. You probably should have surgery at the very least. Sometimes it's appropriate to have hormonal therapy. Sometimes chemo can work, but often its use is exaggerated. Some questions as to whether radiation after routine removal of small breast cancers makes a big difference or not. So you have to really look at the particulars with invasive ductal carcinoma. I mean, it sounds very, very dire, but actually that's a type of breast cancer that some people are beginning to say shouldn't even be called cancer because it's sort of like the equivalent of a very abnormal pap smear, not full-blown metastatic. Yes, it can spread. But does it really deserve a very, very aggressive therapy, even in the Western model? And there are a bunch of things that we can do for breast cancer to slow its progression. I'd have to know the particulars of your case. But when we return in just a moment, let's talk about some of the things that are helpful for breast cancer. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. 1-888-302-3684 for questions on today's edition of Intelligent Medicine. Heart disease is the number one killer in America, but you don't need to become a statistic. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'd like to share with you that one of the best ways that I found to support heart health is by taking Kyolic Aged Garlic Extract. Backed by more than 700 peer-reviewed studies, Kyolic provides powerful antioxidants that help keep your arteries healthy.
It reduces homocysteine, a risk factor for heart disease. Kyolic aged garlic extract has also been shown to support healthy cholesterol levels and proper circulation. With all of these heart-healthy benefits, it's no surprise that kyolic aged garlic extract is the best-selling garlic supplement in the world. Unlike other garlic products, kyolic aged garlic extract is completely odorless and won't upset your stomach. Made from 100% organically grown garlic, I recommend taking kyolic daily as part of a heart-healthy lifestyle. Kyolic aged garlic extract is available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, GNC, and fine health food stores nationwide.
A regular dose of intelligent medicine injected directly into your inbox. Subscribe to Dr. Hoffman's free newsletter. Just go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. We just had a question from Nina, who's calling us from Northampton, Mass. Breast cancer, alternative treatments. And Nina, are you still with us?
I am.
Okay, yeah. So, Nina, I'm not going to comment on your individual case because every case that I see with cancer involves different ramifications. You know, the age of the patient, the extent of the cancer, the pathology of the cancer, whether they are inclined towards taking conventional therapies, because with conventional therapies, sometimes there's some incompatibilities with certain supplements, like certain supplements will neutralize the efficacy of certain chemo agents or perhaps might get in the way of radiation, but not all. Because often oncologists will say, well, don't take any supplements. Everything that you might take could interfere. Well, it's not the case. There are only certain things that might interfere, and we have to be selective about what we tell patients not to take. But then there's certain things that, in general, are helpful for breast cancer. So let's go through some of them. One of them that I discussed, it's kind of obscure. Not a lot of people are aware of this, but I actually discussed this in a fascinating podcast this week. You can get it at drhoffman.com. The book is The Iodine Crisis by Lynn Farrow. And I have seen time and time again women with very painful breasts, fibrocystic breast disease, very nodular breasts, where it's, you know, scary to examine the breast because everything feels like, oh, my goodness, this is a lump, this is a bump. That this resolves completely with iodine therapy. And I'm not just talking about just a little bit of kelp from a capsule you get in the health food store, but more supervised iodine therapy under the supervision of an iodine literate practitioner. You have to be careful with iodine because there can be some side effects, but iodine can be very helpful here. So that might be part of a useful breast cancer protocol. Other things, studies have shown that high-dose melatonin is helpful for prevention and even treatment of breast cancer, but it has to be high dose, not just enough to help you sleep, but 20 milligrams of melatonin at bedtime can be very helpful. Curcumin is wonderful. It's anti-inflammatory. It also can mitigate some of the side effects of chemo, but it also might interfere with certain chemo, so you have to be careful. DIM, diindole methane, which is from cabbage family vegetables, is a wonderful anti-cancer agent. Also, sulforaphane glucosinolate. Johns Hopkins research helped them develop super sprouts, which are rich in sulforaphanes, which have anti-cancer effect. EGCG from green tea is very helpful. Flaxseed lignans, which you can get by taking a couple of tablespoons of fresh ground flaxseed on your salad every day. That can be very beneficial, but also there are products that concentrate the flax lignans. My favorite is Breveil, and it's called Breveil because it has to do with protecting the breasts. Also, for men, it seems to protect the prostate, which is a similar type of tissue. So there are many such things, certain things to help the immune system. I like to use a product called Empower, which enhances the immune response. Vitamin D is beneficial. Fish oil may have beneficial effects against breast cancer. And on it goes. Some studies on coenzyme Q10 as well. So there are a variety of things that you can take. But is it enough to supplant conventional therapy? And we have to make calculated decisions in each case to determine if you can, I wouldn't recommend that you leave a breast cancer in place unless you're very advanced age. Generally, it's good to take the cancer out at the very least. Perhaps you can forego the chemo or forego the hormonal therapy or the radiation. That's a decision that can be made on an individual basis. Possibly the most powerful therapy that can be done when you have breast cancer is intravenous vitamin C, because high-dose vitamin C has a cytostatic effect against cancer cells. It seems to stop their replication, but only when taken in high doses. Some people might say, well, I'll just take a lot of vitamin C by mouth. We take 10 or 20 grams, but you take much more and it's going to start running through you, cause you gastritis and stomach upset. Taking it intravenously, you can introduce much higher concentrations in the cells and directly attack the cancer. So that also is a beneficial adjunctive therapy for breast cancer. Breast cancer, I think, should be treated in an integrative fashion. There's conventional things that really make sense and, you know, probably we have to pull the trigger on. But alternative things can really help patients survive longer and do better.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Sure, my pleasure. Oh, I recommend for you. Here's something I would recommend. Somebody we've interviewed frequently, you can find her podcast at drhoffman.com. Her name is Dr. Lise Alschuler. And she's written a great book that I recommend called The Definitive Guide to Cancer. The Definitive Guide to Cancer. Dr. Alschuler's name is spelled A-L-S-C-H-U-L-E-R. And that's a good place to start if you want tailored advice, very sophisticated advice that's understandable for the layperson about cancer. The book is The Definitive Guide to Cancer. Great resource. All right. One of my favorite subjects. Dark chocolate. Every day I have some dark chocolate. And it used to be just an indulgence. Now I know that it's good for me. It's healthy. I usually try to go for the 85 proof, 85% dark chocolate that has less in the way of sugar and less in the way of fat, although I'm not entirely convinced that fat from cocoa is necessarily bad for you, but the sugar probably you want to avoid, and it is caloric. OPCs, oligomeric proanthocyanidins, may be key to the heart protective and diabetes protective and even weight loss effects of dark chocolate. It's pretty crazy. Dark chocolate helping you with diabetes? Well, yes, according to a bunch of researchers at Virginia Polytechnic Institute. They looked at mice receiving high doses of dark chocolate. One ingredient was particularly promising in providing health benefits, the oligomeric proanthocyanidins, otherwise abbreviated, try saying that 10 times over fast, abbreviated OPCs. Now, if you've heard that term before, OPCs also are found in grapeseed extract and in pycnogenol. In fact, they were discovered by a Frenchman named Dr. Jacques Mescalier, and he was the originator of pycnogenol, which is extracted from the French maritime pine tree. Frequently, if you're on the Mediterranean, the coast of France, you actually see this sort of little dwarf kind of twisted pine tree that is very resistant to wind conditions and sun, and that is, its bark is very rich in OPCs, also grapeseed, of which there's plenty of it. Once they make the wine, the grapeseed's left over. There are plenty of grapeseeds left over, and OPCs can be extracted from grape pips or grape seeds. But when it comes to chocolate, OPCs may be the secret to their heart protective, diabetes preventive, even weight loss benefits. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, 888-302-3684, for your phone calls on Intelligent Medicine.
Why do I use the Spry Dental Defense System? Because it tastes great.
Because fillings are ugly.
There are a lot of reasons to use the Spry Dental Defense System. A complete line of oral care products such as toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, and more, made with 100% xylitol. But the best reason is because it works. And because it's all natural, Spry is 100% safe for kids. There are even Spry products developed especially for your children and toddlers.
Because my dental hygienist told me to.
Because it's all natural.
So ask for Spry by name whenever you buy toothpaste, mouthwash, gum, mints, or anything else for your mouth. And make sure you're receiving all the benefits of 100% xylitol products.
Because I want a great smile, duh.
Why do I use Spry? Because it works?
The Spry Dental Defense System. Great taste, less fillings. For information or to purchase Spry, visit SpryDental.com.
Available at Whole Foods, Vitamin Shoppe, and other fine natural products retailers.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Subscribe to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast, updated several times weekly. Go to drhoffman.com.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. A little bit of a follow-up for our caller, Nina, who is facing some decisions about breast cancer. We talked about a whole variety of supplements. Let's talk about some lifestyle factors that might have an impact on breast cancer. First of all, xenoestrogens. Xeno means foreign. Estrogens, of course, estrogens stimulate breast cancer. And xenoestrogens are the phony or false or chemical estrogens that we obtain from our environment. They're present in plastics, in BPA, in phthalates, and they permeate our environment now. And so it's important to eat clean, natural, organic food, also to avoid cosmetics that contain parabens. There's all kinds of things that we put on our bodies, under our arms, in our hair, that may actually have cancer-promoting effects. So clean cosmetics, clean water, clean food. Don't nuke your food in plastic containers. Make sure that your water bottles are the kind of plastic that is not containing xenoestrogens that contribute to your estrogen burden. The very self-same advice applies to men when it comes to prostate cancer. A current epidemic of prostate cancer may be driven by these phony or false estrogens that are now in the environment. And we're seeing crazy stuff happening in the animal kingdom. We're seeing hermaphroditism in animals, dual sex organs in animals that live in waters that are polluted. We're seeing the change in size of male genitals in animals because of the estrogen-like effects, curbing normal testosterone effects in animals. All kinds of horrors are being unleashed via a toxic environment. Also, exercise is beneficial. Exercise has been shown to dramatically reduce the risk of recurrence of breast cancer. So all these women who are running for the cure, walking for the cure, it can make a difference by significant double-digit amounts. In some studies, 15-30% or more reduction in the risk of recurrence of breast cancer. And then when it comes to diet, we had the idea in the past that meat was the culprit. But according to some studies, meat per se is not the culprit. Maybe poor quality meat that's laced with antibiotics and hormones could be problematic. But what seems to be more of a problem is excess carbohydrates, because excess carbohydrates drive up levels of insulin. Insulin can prompt insulin-like growth hormone, a growth hormone that may stimulate the growth of cancer cells. There's also some studies that you don't want to go very heavy duty on protein consumption, because protein itself may increase IGF levels. So a diet rich in natural fruits and vegetables, but low in sugars and low in glycemic index, and of course also anything you can do to optimize your body fat percentage, that too can make a difference in your potential survival from breast cancer. This week, I put an article up in Mind Body Green. There have been well over 1,000 shares already. That means that there must be tens of thousands of views. Mind Body Green is a place that publishes a lot of my articles. And this one is, I took an interesting tack, 20 heart risks that you never even imagined you might have. And go to mindbodygreen.com and check it out. And I also put links on Twitter and on Facebook to that article. Among the things that are a risk, I'm going to share them with you in just a moment. You'll be surprised because, yeah, we tend to think cardiovascular disease has to do with maybe family history. Of course, if you smoke, you're sedentary, you have high cholesterol. More sophisticated people realize that homocysteine and Lp(a) and C-reactive protein have something to do with cardiovascular risk if you're obese, overweight, etc. But there are some very, very surprising risk factors for cardiovascular disease, and I'm going to share some of them with you. If you want to see the full 20, go to mindbodygreen.com and check it out. They did a beautiful job with the graphics on that article, a very innovative depiction of 20 heart risks that you never even imagined you might have. We'll share that with you in just a moment. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. This is Intelligent Medicine.
DrHoffman.com, your portal for cutting-edge information on health and nutrition.
Welcome back to Intelligent Medicine. Big article in Mind Body Green that I submitted last week and has already gotten a lot of attention on 20 risks for cardiovascular disease that you couldn't ever imagine you might have. And some of them are in the wake of a meeting of the American College of Cardiology that was just held, where they rolled out some studies that suggested that there are really some surprises when it comes to cardio risks. One of the risks that they point out at that prestigious meeting is diet soda. Diet soda consumption in women was associated with a 30% higher risk of cardiovascular disease. That's incredible. Also, being single is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. Slight uptick in risk, about 15%. So if you thought you're getting rid of aggravation by staying single, think again. Gluten is a risk, but only if you have celiac disease. If you were to have celiac disease and if you were eating gluten, you would dramatically increase your risk for heart disease. That's a surprise. And here's one. You know, you tend to think of, you know, high intensity athletics as being virtuous. This headline, running related injuries mount as marathon season approaches, and excess exercise may be a risk factor for heart disease. High mileage runners have shorter lifespans than moderate runners, according to the latest study that was reported in the American College of Cardiology. Now, they used to think, well, maybe it's because they're taking non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. We know that those might be bad for the heart. But it turns out that very high volume running, I'm talking about people who constantly do marathons and Ironmans, that level of exertion may actually cause the heart to enlarge, may cause mini infarcts in the heart that can increase the risk for cumulative damage that can result in atherosclerosis or cardiac arrhythmias later in life. So when it comes to exercise, go for it, but you know, don't overdo it, because it could actually increase your cardiovascular risk at the very self-same time you're trying to protect your heart with exercise. All right, we got lots more to discuss. Check out our article in Mind Body Green on 20 risk factors for cardiovascular disease you didn't imagine you might have. And when we return, more of your phone calls. 888-302-3684 for the weekend edition of Intelligent Medicine. This is Dr. Ronald Hoffman.